Let's take up our Bibles and turn again to the book of Exodus tonight, to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, where we look to verses 1 through 11 for our text this evening. Next week, we will look then at that call to Sabbath, another gift of God to his people and to his craftsmen in the building of the tabernacle and of that relationship. And then we'll look to a summary of Exodus 40 for our New Year's meditation, closing our study of the book of Exodus together. But tonight, to the work of a master builder, not talking of those that are written in this text as that, but to our Lord, to the relationship and to the tabernacle that he would build among his people. And so let's read these words together. Exodus 31, hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin and its stand, and the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." Thus far the reading of God's holy and inspired word, may he work it in us this evening. Let's pray for that together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you called these men, these people to, in the building of your tabernacle. And Father, we thank you that it speaks of more, of calling, of vocation, Father, of service, of dedication to it, of excellence, of the work of your Spirit, of your commands for us. And so, Father, as we hear this word, fill us with your Spirit, a continual filling that we cry out for, that we would understand your word and that it would be applied to our lives. Father, hear our prayer. Continue the work that you have begun in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Children of God, called to be saints, I'm always humbled as I watch those skilled at various crafts. Certainly, in not being a handyman, and certainly can't pull a red, green, handsome man either, I stop, and as I watch people, the wonder of people at work who do good work, it's humbling in the recognition of those skills that have been given and learned, the dedication to craft, the sacrifices that are made for it, the love and passion of such service. It's humbling. You're humbled by the master brushstrokes of an artist or the careful measurements of a woodworker, the learned touch of a gifted baker, the careful measurements of and attention to detail of machinists or those who do needlepoint work, the precision of those and the knowledge of those who service automobiles, the knowledge and experience simply of anyone who's, well, good at their job. It's humbling. And it's not that they're good at their jobs only technically, but usually someone is good at their job because they view what they do more than just a job, just a thing that pays the bills. No, it's more than that. For as you take a step back to see what they create and fashion, you're blown away. Because as they follow the Lord, what you see in it is the praise of the Maker. You see the wonder of his work at work in those that he calls to serve him. The praise of the Maker, the praise of the builder, master builder and craftsman. And really, that's because we've been made in his image. In fact, it is no error or no mistake, no wonder that at the very beginning, the Lord reveals himself as creator, as master builder. He fashions all things. And the crown jewel of that creation is this man and this woman that are made in the image of God. All of it perfect. No error, no mistakes. And that too is humbling. And yet after sin, the Lord shows himself not only as creator, but as restorer. He shows himself not only to be good at calling all things out of nothing, but taking that which he has made that has been marred and broken by sin and making it beautiful. He doesn't scrap what he made, but he takes what is broken, having made a plan to redeem it, and he does that, promising that there will be a day where he will make all things new. And so to do that, what the Lord has to build is a relationship. He has to build a relationship with that which was broken. Once more, with the man and the woman who rebelled. He needed to bring them back to himself by way of sacrifice so that they would live for him and serve him in everything. And that truth is seen in that which God commanded, even in terms of the tabernacle. That as we have worked our way through all of these instructions and all of these designs for building and God's standard for it and the excellence and the detail and the specific plans, this is how you will do it. Again, he was building more than a tent. No, every part of it speaks of God's word in reestablishing and building his relationship with his people. He would give his best. He would give his everything. And so the dwelling that he makes with man, that which he had commanded, would call for nothing less but the best of craftsmanship and skill. Only the best would suffice for the dwelling of a holy God. And yet he says, and I give you that task. Wow. That when someone comes to us and asks us to fulfill a job or a responsibility or some kind of craft for someone, there is that humbling, right? You want us to do that? You're going to ask me? We recognize our own weaknesses. We realize our own frailties. We realize all the ways that, frankly, we could mess that up. But he would have Israel build for him a tabernacle. You will build for me a dwelling place. But that's why he's the master builder. It's in his plan. It's in his way. It will fit together just so. And so he builds that dwelling place for himself in and with his people. And so, yes, his presence was signified by that tabernacle in their midst. But as these men, and by extension these women, by extension the people of Israel, as they would serve him in these tasks, what are they brought to? The tabernacle wasn't the dwelling, but we are. That isn't your work. We are. His dwelling was among them, those he called out of Egypt and delivered himself. It's an amazing project. I pray that you are in that way blown away by every bit of God's instruction to the building of this thing. And yet if you consider that call then, that call to build it, what an overwhelming one, right? How could this not bring someone to a whole other level of reverence and awe and fear? I mean, imagine for yourself Bezalel being called by God saying, I want you to build this. That I remember here, and certainly Facebook helps that a little bit, but you see those memories, that scroll, and those photos that you took from several years ago, and so I still can look out at this place and see just concrete floor and beams and all of that. And the conversations with Mr. Joe and with other people about building this space and the overwhelming call of what that is, of the number of builders, not just him, but others in that project who knew what they were building and who knew what we would be doing here. Reverence and awe. They took their tasks seriously. They recognized the import of their calling in those tasks. They were men and women gifted by God for the purpose of providing a space where we worship. It's an overwhelming thing. So now how much more when God says, build that dwelling. And so in the first church building project, as it were, the Lord selected a builder and a helper, and several helpers, in fact, to do the work given to them by him, the master builder. They were to understand that work in terms of God's call upon their gifts and to do something according to the help and pattern which he provided. It is an awesome calling, and hear it clearly, one that each of us shares in as members of his church, as those set apart by God to serve him, as those being built up into that dwelling. It's a calling we share in Christ as we are built up together a holy people. And so what we look at in our text this evening is the call of a master builder to those laborers that he would make use of. And it's also a text that points us to the master builder, to Jesus Christ, who builds that relationship for us with the Father, and who is our example as we seek to walk and build in the way that he has called us to and commanded us to in his word. And so we see this theme tonight. The master builder selects and equips those he will use to build his dwelling in wisdom and skill. The master builder selects and equips those he will use to build his dwelling in wisdom and skill. And so as we humbly come to that word, recognizing our task in it, even as they did, we look at 3 points. We look at a calling, we look at a filling, and we look at a giving. A calling in verses 1 and 2, a filling in verses 3 through 5, and then a giving in verses 6 through 11. But it starts with a calling. And it's a word that we don't use very much, is it? Or if we do, we usually use it in terms of certain vocations rather than others. So, pastor, you are called to your service, but I have a job. It's unfortunate that we talk that way. It's sad at best, because none of us should ever speak of that which God has called us to, and we need to use that word. That what you are called to do and gifted to do is a calling. Not just religious things, not just spiritual things. No, you, as one set apart as holy unto the Lord, are to be holy in all you do. You see, if we only speak of a job, we lose connection to the Lord in recognizing that our jobs, that which God has given us to do, is his call on our lives in this particular moment. And you're like, am I really called to work at the pizza place? Am I really called to clean out horse barns? Yes. Yes. Because it is service that you render, not first and foremost for yourself or for your boss. It is service rendered unto the Lord. And that understanding begins to be gleaned even here in God's calling of a builder to assist him in the building of the tabernacle. Because again, keep it in front of you, he is building more than just a structure. And so because of that, this was more than just a job. Because what would be built would symbolize and facilitate God's relationship with his chosen people, Israel. And so we see it quite literally in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, see. That so much of what we talk about in calling, we typically talk about in terms of areas of service by way of hearing. But hear, Moses, see it. And not just you, but because you are my mouthpiece to the people, have them see it. See, behold what I am doing. See and behold what I am building, what I am working, and ultimately how I will be glorified in it. What an awesome thing. Here it is. You're going to be able to see it, not just hear it, but you're going to see this great work among you. And you're going to see it because I've called someone to it. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur. And what we underline there, called by name. It couldn't be just anybody. Hey, Moses, find somebody who is fairly skilled and gifted at most of the crafts and give them this job. No. No, I have called him by name. And a special name, because Bezalel in the Hebrew means in God's shadow. And you say, well, why is that important? Think about that calling. Think about the overwhelming awe, terror. I've called him by name. And this is what I want you to do, that this will be your life's work, that this is what you will be known for. I want you to do it for my glory. And yet it's words picked up in Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That here, Bezalel, I have called you by name. I have called you out that you would abide in me, that your work is going to give testimony to that, that that's where you dwell, that that's where the power of your labor will come, that as you are found in union and communion with me, there is what I will build, and there is what I will do. And yet it's more than that. Because yes, he's a son, and he's a grandson, but he's of the tribe of Judah. That here, Bezalel, I want you to build something that you're not going to be able to see again. And I'm going to have you build something that after it's built and consecrated, you're never going to be able to touch or reference or say, look what I did. One who is selected is of the tribe of Judah. And this is no small thing, even as we consider the Lord's blessing to that tribe. Because already, even in this name Bezalel, and even in the tribe that he is brought from, what does it speak concerning the construction of this place? You see, one from the tribe of Judah would be called to build the way of fellowship between God and man. By constructing, as it were, something greater than a tabernacle, because he would build peace. He would be called from the tribe of Judah to build that people into a spiritual house by his Spirit while serving as its chief cornerstone. You see, already here is a finger that points to Jesus Christ. Here is the one that will come and perform a far greater work than Bezalel was ever given in the Spirit. And so you see, as we follow Christ, how do we examine then our calling? Because Bezalel was to point to Jesus Christ in every bit of that calling. And so what about you? You, his son, his daughter, called by name, known by name, and called into his kingdom service. You see, it wasn't just going to be Bezalel. Yes, he would be in charge of building, but that was his call, right? Moses was called to lead the people. That was his calling. And Aaron was called to serve as high priest, and that was his calling. Each and every person is called to their task in service to the Lord. No task more great, no task more awesome, no task more or less required and necessary. Every person is called in service to the Lord in gratitude for being made part of his kingdom. And that comes through that which that son of the tribe of Judah set up, that relationship through Christ. And when we begin to examine our calling in that way, when you go to work tomorrow morning and you pause and you say, what has God called me to? How am I to use this kingdom service today to the glory of his name? That there is no job more or less important. Because it's a calling. You've been called out by name. I want you to serve me. I want you to serve me in that which I have called you to do. Are we thinking about it? Are we going forth into a new week in the confidence of his calling that I have been called and gifted unto the excellence and glory of his name because he knows my name and he's given me his name? Going out in the confidence that is yours in the master builder from the tribe of Judah, our Lord and Savior, who also fills us to fulfill such a calling and such a service. It's about filling, too, in verses 3 to 5. And maybe that's where some of the hang-up is for us, because maybe we don't think about our vocations and service as calling because we don't really believe that we're very much gifted by God or that he's equipped us. Maybe we think that he hasn't given us the knowledge and power to do that which he has called us to do. But that's a lie of the evil one. And so certainly humility is a good thing, and asking for the help that we need is a good thing. But each and every one of you in Christ has been given gifts for the glory of his name, for the good of his church, and the blessing of this world that we are a part. And so as the saying goes, God doesn't typically call the equipped, but he equips the called. But as we see here, he will also use you and your gifts in his way, in his power, and unto his glory. And he will do so in filling you with awe and wonder, but also with himself. And that was as true in that day as it is now. What was that which set Bezalel to this task? It wasn't his gifts, although he has those too. But rather what it is what he would now be filled with. Verse 3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. I have called him, and I have filled him. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. The commentator Motir writes, wherever a willing heart commits itself to hear the call of God and do the will of God, the filling of the Spirit of God may be reverently assumed, end quote. And this phrase is awesome. He is filled with the Spirit. Called by name is already overwhelming, but filled with the Spirit? But what is this filling? Well, it's not the filling of the New Testament. We want to make that kind of total transfer of the words for filling of the Spirit in the New Testament there with the Old. But rather, here is that giving of the Spirit unto a specific time and unto a specific task. In similar way that we start to look at how God fills his prophets, how he gives them his word, how he gives to those his spirit of strength. We think of Samson in those moments that he is caught up. We think of it in terms of Saul being given and poured out with that spirit as he was able to prophesy. And so he's filled. To be filled was, as Stuart writes, having from God the ability to do or say exactly what God wants done or said. And so the filling of that spirit then is played out in the rest of this text with what he is given or what will be used. And so he is filled with ability and intelligence. That he had been given gifts of God, and now the Lord, by way of that filling, will sharpen them for his tasks. That here is Bezalel, one who was known, one who was called, one who was gifted, but now as one called, those gifts will become supercharged, as it were. To the end that Bezalel would be able to produce that which God had intended by his word. That he takes those gifts and he makes them something more. That in that willingness and in that calling, he now takes his gifts and abilities, that knowledge, that wisdom and insight, and now takes it and brings it all together for his glory. And so he's filled with knowledge and all craftsmanship. Verse 4, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. That really, Bezalel is the first true artisan. The man is gifted. The man has skills. And yet equipped by God with gifts and callings and abilities and now his spirit, that is why he will be able to serve him well in these endeavors. And that work was important. You see, that too is where we get caught up in this understanding of calling and filling. That even for me at times, and again, we try to correct it as pastors as much as we can, but again, that interaction, well, you're called, or yours is a holy calling, or what you do is more important than what I do. You know what? I couldn't get to church tonight unless somebody built my car and insured my car and refined the gasoline and the oil for my car. Who made the clothes so that I can stand here without shame? For those who made the carpet and this space and place. For those who give. For those who pray. For those who encourage. You see, Bezalel takes a title of builder. But he can't do it of himself. That there is no service of the priests apart from the service of Bezalel and those who will build the tabernacle. Again, don't consider calling and filling as being secluded under the task of spiritual nature. All of our work is spiritual. All of it is done unto the Lord. Yours is not a job, it is a calling. You are called by God to his service in the varied vocations he has granted. Simply put, brothers and sisters, we do not abide by a sacred secular distinction. Oh, well, mine is secular work and yours is spiritual. Uh-uh. You are a Christian farmer. You are a Christian builder. You are a Christian pastor. You're a Christian installer. You're a Christian plumber. And that's important. Because the moment that we lose sight of that, we lose sight of that relationship with God. We do not believe that some forms of labor are higher or more important. So yes, I am called as a pastor. You are called as a business owner, a farmer, a construction worker, a domestic engineer, a teacher. Each distinct in its spheres and service, but all required that God would be glorified and God's people serve together in love. And that's because of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what does all that have to do with filling? you have been filled with his Spirit. That what we rejoice in at Pentecost is the filling of all believers. And we cry out, might you continue to fill us? But we do that because of the work of Christ. He, the one filled with the Spirit, as one called by the Father, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That he in his earthly life was filled with the Holy Spirit to do all that the Father had ordained for him in that strength. So the reality of the tabernacle and later would not be set up in stones and wooden structure, but again in those that he builds into a spiritual dwelling by his Spirit. And so as we move forward in Christ, each of us has been equipped by God to do what he has called to do, recognizing that the service given to us is that for which we are equipped by God to do in good work and service to him. And more than that, he fills each one of his children with his Holy Spirit so we would seek him, that we would seek his presence and his glory in all things, that he fills us so that we would serve him with our best in thanksgiving. And so how has he filled you? How is he filling you? What are the gifts that he has given you that in a willingness and power of the Spirit, he desires to see used here, in the church, in your home, in your place of employment, in the communities that we're a part of? And how is his Holy Spirit working in you a greater desire and ability to serve? That in the example of the one who has filled us, how are we going forward as those who have been filled? That too is a part of the fellowship and relationship that our master builder is constructing. And he does so in giving testimony to his gifts, and that in the last place. Because as we close this text tonight, there are two things that the Lord gives. And the first is this, the Lord gives his helpers. Verse 6, and I behold, or see, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you. Bezalel wasn't alone. Can you imagine that crushing burden? Hey, Bezalel, build me a place and do it by yourself. It's not good. That when you perhaps are overburdened at the calling that is yours, right? It's hard. And we hurt. And we basically cry, I just need some help around here. God gives it. That none of us in the church, none of us in the home, none of us are left alone. No, he gave Bezalel a helper, Aholiab, whose name awesomely means my tent or my shelter is the Father God. He gives him one who would be a reminder always of what was being built. He gives helpers to each of his people in their kingdom service. Hear that encouragement again. He never leaves us alone to serve alone. No, he grants to us, as those who have been filled with his Holy Spirit, those to help in that service. That there, even in our text, what do we read? There's more than just him. I have appointed with him Aholiab, and I have given to all able men ability, to all the craftsmen, to all of those who will be equipped by me and used by me, that this was a much bigger endeavor. And so he gives us congregation to each other. He gives us those who encourage us, those who recognize our gifts, those who call out our sin, those who challenge us to better, fuller, deeper, and more awesome service. He gives to us those who have been in the church for a long time. He gives us the passion of those that haven't been. He gives us this plurality of gifts to build what he will build for the glory of his name. He gives a variety of gifts and a variety of helpers so that as one body, we would serve well. He gives helpers. And so if we're struggling with burdens that we carry, or service that we think ultimately only depends on me, careful. That's the reminder given to Bezalel too. I've given you a helper. I've given you many helpers. We say sometimes, kids, many hands make light work. That isn't so your mom and dad can not have to do as much around the house. But it's because that's the example of service. And how much more for us, those served by Jesus Christ, those filled with his Spirit, that we might serve him according to his command. And that's ultimately what he closes this text with. He gives us helpers, but he also gives us the plan. He gives us his command. And why are those helpers given then? Unto a great work of obedience and service to the Lord. Because think about that in the light of your calling, right? You're called to that which you're called to do, not what someone else is called to do. You've been gifted and given talents and filled with the Spirit to do that which he has called you by name to do. And so if we think about that in the life of Israel, they were to build that and only that which God had commanded to be built. And so together, called by God and filled with his Spirit, they would build the tent of meeting and the ark of testimony, the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the finely worked garments, and the holy garments, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the holy place. But what's the thing that we need to remember in that service? What do we need to remember from our master builder? According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. This isn't the place for jazz. It's not the place for improvisation. It's certainly not a place for strange fire. No, we follow his commands. What is the power of our calling? We follow his commands. Why are we filled with his Spirit? That we would follow his commands. And so we follow the one who is obedient to every command of the Lord for us. A chosen, called by name, master builder, faithful to every part of the Father's plan of redemption. And perfectly executing every part of that plan for us, that we would belong to him in life and death forever. And so for us, even as it was true for Jesus Christ, doing the Lord's work means doing the Lord's will and doing that only. That what we are called to by way of this text tonight is obedience. Because again, notice that Bezalel and Aholiab and the other craftsmen in Israel, they didn't get to freelance. You know what? I'm glad the people that built this church didn't put a bathroom in the middle of my study. Oh, it's so close to the door. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Like, this would be great. That's not the plan. That's not good. No, we don't get to freelance that plan. Here's the blueprint. Here's the way about it. Go do it. They didn't get to be creative, as it were, to come up with their own ways, their own designs, their own building. No, everything they did was to be conformed to and regulated by the word and command of God. It's still true now. What God is building here among us is to be built according to his plan. Everything that we do is to be conformed and regulated by the word and command of God. And the Lord insists on it. Even in this text, the Lord insists of his people an exact replication of all that he has commanded. Remember Exodus 25:9, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all of its furniture, you shall make it. But that's our blessing. You know those times where somebody comes to you and says, well, make something for me. Well, what do you want me to make? Oh, whatever you feel like. Oh, just tell me what you want. Just tell me. I'm willing to make it. Just tell me. And here God says, I've told you. I've taken that burden from you. I've told you exactly what to build and exactly what to make in being given the pattern of love and faithfulness from our master builder, in the power of our master builder by his word and spirit. We give ourselves to lives living in such a way that speaks of him. That we would be a representation of him. That we and our lives would speak of his pattern, his example, his word, his love. He is our model. He is our blueprint. That the people of Israel were to see our lives are to be patterned in this way, that our calling is to be obedient in this way. That obedience is required. And we need to hear that. But more, that is our desire in thanksgiving. Because that's ultimately where we need to be left in this text, right? Lord, you've called me by name. You've given me a calling. You've given me gifts. You have equipped me. You have filled me with your Holy Spirit so that I would know you and follow you and serve you. What a privilege is mine. That in everything I do, that which I give my hands to, that which I give my life to, is to sing out your praise. Is that your heart in Christ Jesus? In knowing what he has done, in knowing the spirit that he has given, in knowing the helpers and the command that he has granted, is that your heart in Christ Jesus? Consider your life. For we cannot say that we are serving the master builder if our life is being lived in a way contrary to his revealed will and plan. Well, I'm sinning, or I'm serving the Lord in this way that I am clearly violating his word in sin. No. No. We cannot say that we are seeking to serve him if we're building our own kingdoms with no regard for his. And so I call out to you tonight that if your life is being lived right now according to your blueprint, if you're taking his plans and saying, no, I know better, this is how I will serve, this is what I will do, you need to repent. Because the master builder calls you. And he calls you by name. I've use for you. He calls you out of that life of sin. Because if you keep building in that way, what you'll build is broken. No matter how gifted you are, it'll still be broken. Your life will be wasted. And what you will have built, he never asked you to build in the first place. And it's going to be destroyed. Instead, we build as those called by him and equipped by him and filled by him. That we build our life upon the rock. That we build our life in conformity to his word. That we serve him in grateful obedience, that which we're called to, that which we delight in. Because that's the other humbling part, right? When you see someone good at what they do and what they're called at, what do they say? Never worked a day in my life. There's passion, there's conviction, there's celebration. This is what God has given me to do, and I will rejoice. And if you're maybe wondering, what are you called to do in relationship to this Almighty God through Jesus Christ? He gives you that example here, right? You are called by name to serve and give him thanks for your salvation, and for the opportunities afforded to you to bring glory to his name. Your life is to be lived in thanks for your master builder, for the relationship that he has crafted, for the salvation that he has provided for you in himself, for the peace that he continues to work for you and in you. And so, people of God, where we're left in this text is saying thank you. Thank you, master builder, for what you are building. Thank you that you are making all things beautiful in your time. Thank you that you are a God who begins good works. And because you have begun a good work, you're going to be faithful to completing it. And so may we all be more thankful for his calling, for his filling, and for his giving. All of this which is ours ultimately in Jesus Christ. And may we continue to marvel and give thanks for the relationship that he builds with us and through us, with his people, with you and me, to the glory of his name. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and for its command. Thank you, Lord, for calling us by name to something very specific. Thank you for calling all of us, not just some of us, all of us into service. And Father, we're thankful that we may sit here or stand here tonight and look around us and be thankful for the gifts and the talents and the callings that you have given others. And so, Father, may we see that which you give us to in calling us by name as that, as calling, as devotion, as celebration of what you are building and how you are working. And Father, we thank you that in the tabernacle you were building so much more than a structure. But Father, you were building a life in and among your people as you dwell with them. And so how much more awesome is it that your Spirit dwells in us, that you have made us into a dwelling place for yourself by that same Spirit, and that, Father, you continue to do that work today. And so, Father, we thank you for those gifted in this text, Bezalel and Aholiab, of the craftsmen. Father, we are thankful for the craftsmen and craftswomen that we see in our own lives. And, Father, may we give you all the praise for it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.